morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. It's good to see each and every one of you. I hope you had a great week, and I hope that you sense the Lord's presence throughout the week in special ways, and it's just good to see each and every one of you. Happy Father's Day, by the way, and we have a brief little video clip that we want to show you in honor of Father's Day. This video clip represents everything that you wish you could have done when you were a father and had kids living at home. Watch this.
Don't make me pull this car over.
What is this?
What? Everyone went to his own town to register because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary and was expecting a child. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, didn't we all learn something today, guys?
Yes, sir.
Now, was I right? Don't you wish that you had duct tape like that when you were... What a great way to use duct tape. Great. Hey, we want to wish some people a happy birthday as well. Let's see. We have, on my list here, Alberta's birthday's today. Where's Alberta? There she is, way in the back. Happy birthday, Alberta. Judy Prince's birthday today. We want to sing happy birthday to Judy and Alberta. Ron and Char's anniversary is today, too. They're getting ready to go on vacation, so we want to make sure to sing happy anniversary to them as well. So who else? Is there somebody else's birthday that I missed? Anybody? Let's sing happy birthday to that. Your birthday today, too? Oh, it's last Sunday. That's right. Well, we'll sing happy birthday. We'll make up for it. Let's sing happy birthday to these. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. All right, give him another hand. We are grateful. It's a big celebration today. All right, in honor of Father's Day, we want all of the fathers who have goofy ties to come up here front and center right now. We're going to have a quick little vote and see who has the goofiest tie, okay? I'm excluded. I just wore my old fishing and hunting tie that I've never worn before ever in my whole life. So anyway, this is my first time, the first time I've ever worn this tie. So anyway, all of those who have a goofy tie, you want to be in this little contest, you need to come up right now, okay? All right, looks like we got a great Christmas tie, wrong season. Looks like we have things with little furry things. All right, here we go. Okay, we need to identify who gets first prize. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. There's this beautiful tie. All right, Everybody for Ron, raise your hand. All right. About a half a dozen or so. How about this Christmas tie right here? We need the clap meter. That's the way we need the clap meter. Okay, here we go for Ron. Now, this is nothing personal, guys, so this is about the tie, okay? It's about the tie. No, nothing personal. Don't take it personal. Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. Yeah, all right. Got little old bicycles on it. All right, looks like we have these two running off so far. Oh, look at this old nostalgic McDonald's tie. I like that one. That one's a good one. Step out. Oh, my goodness. That one's a little bit blinding. All right, step out. Another Christmas tie here. Nice. Okay, SpongeBob, pretty nice. Okay, step out. All right, we got another little run out here, little runoff. All right. All right, let's try it again. All right.
You go ahead.
About the same. A little more. Yeah, that's pretty. That one here is a little bit. Do what? Which one? My 150. No, I'm disqualified. I disqualified myself. All right. We have let's try these two again. Ready? Here we go. All right. We did the elimination. Okay. Here's first prize and second prize, and we need a third and a fourth prize here, okay? They didn't make the cut. All right, here we go for third and fourth prize. It's pretty tied. All right, here we go. We got four prizes here. You guys can pick your prize, pick your poison here. All right, first place winner. Here we go. Got a couple of big hunks and a couple of books. There's a good book. All right, second prize. Man in the mirror, third and fourth prize. All right, give them all a hand. They all did good. Happy Father's Day. I tell you, you guys did great. Uh-oh. You were a little too late, buddy. Okay, you need to at least come up here. We got to show this one off, too. These guys were in cahoots with one another, I can tell. Preschool teacher, okay, all right. You know, we got to show this one off, too. This might have won the grand prize. I don't know. This might have won the grand prize.
A recount.
We don't want any hanging Chad here in this place. Well, it's good to see each and every one of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, once again, we love you. We're so grateful for your love to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can have a lot of fun, too, with each other and just love each other and care for one another. Build each other up in these days, Lord, and goodness knows we all just need that. We all just need each other. We're a family, Lord, and we want to encourage one another in these days, and because we know, Lord, that we're on the victory side, and we just need to once again just pray for one another and encourage one another in every way. So, Lord God, we just want to express our praise to you today. I'm thankful for each and every one who's come out this morning. And I ask for your blessings on this special day, Lord, this Father's Day. Father, it seems like these days that fathers are true godly fathers are in short supply, and our world is suffering because of it, Lord. So encourage us, Father, to follow your example and to be people who love you extremely in our lives and keep you first in our lives. Be with us now, Lord, and speak into our hearts. Bless the moms and the kids as well in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's worship the Lord together. Our worship team's coming up. Maybe we can just get the fan.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of my name. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene,
before you and bask ourselves in the warmth of that truth, that love. We honor you today, Lord. It's Father's Day, and we honor the gift that you've given us through our earthly fathers, Lord. Some of them weren't so perfect. But Lord, you in your sovereignty, through your mercy and your love, are our Heavenly Father. And there is nothing that you can't mend, nothing you can't heal. We thank you for your fatherly love. You are the Father to the fatherless. And we praise you for that. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we adore you in your glory. May our hearts be lifted in complete and utter adoration when we stand face to face with the living God.
I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the
oh.
presence. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
I want you to remember the following, especially this week, Sharon Foster and Kathy LeFou are having knee surgery Tuesday. So this Tuesday. So both of them, same day, same hospital. Maybe they'll be roommates when they're done. I'm not sure. So you're having yours done, Kathy, right here in town, are you? And so are you as well, right here in town? Yours is not here. Oh, it's in Scottsdale. Okay. All right. So we want to be sure to remember to be praying for them on Tuesday. Others that are having various procedures or various concerns that medical, physical, whatever needs are listed. And I hope that you're taking this very, very seriously and praying for one another. I guarantee you folks that the one thing that we will have that no one can take away from us is the privilege that is ours to lift each other up in prayer. No one can ever take that away from us. But more importantly, it is the power by which God can move in wonderful ways in the hearts and lives of your friends and your family and your loved ones. So be sure to be praying for these needs that you see here and others. Dolores is having eye surgery. She said that before the service that then she would be able to see what I really look like. And I said, well, I hope I'm not too scary. So, but she has really struggled with that for such a long time. And so we want to pray for God's healing power. And we just praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 22 as we continue to think about what it really means to live under the lordship of God and what it really means to even families, to homes, to parent-child relationships, to these kinds of things. There is no question in anyone's mind, folks, these days that the American family, in fact, families around the world are in a crisis. Family in itself as an institution is in a tremendous crisis these days. Would you agree? And we see the results of it. We see the results in our society as a whole. In our schools, we see the results. There's never been a time when we need to be on our knees before God and ask God to once again restore the institution of family. Father, mother, children, grandchildren, grandparents and grandchildren relationships, you know. The family is just so disintegrated and so much strife within the family. And folks, this is the devil's plan. Amen? It's the devil's plan. Let me share with you some statistics that I read recently that are very, very disconcerting, really. These are from various federal agencies that I gleaned this past week. 85% of youths that are in prison today grew up in fatherless homes. 85%. You see, right from the get-go, we see how important fathers are to the family makeup. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are fatherless homes. 85% of children with severe behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with severe anger issues. Listen to that. 80% of rapists with severe anger issues, which is many times behind what's are from fatherless homes. So, and these are just a few of the statistics that we're seeing today in our society. And we wonder, why things are happening the way they're happening in our world today. Well, it's because of the breakdown of the family as God created the family. With these statistics, what this means is that children from fatherless homes are 4.6 times more likely to commit suicide, 6.6 times more likely to become unwed teenage mothers, 24.3 times more likely to run away from home, 15.3 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 6.3 times more likely to be in state-operated institutions, and 10.8 times more likely to commit rape, 6.6 times more likely to drop out of school, 15.3 times more likely to end up in prison while a teenager. Godly fathers are in great demand. Amen? Godly fathers are in great demand, and they're valuable. I heard a little story one time about the value of a man. And quite some time ago, this was back in the 40s, I think, when they figured this out. But some chemists figured out what the average man is worth. He contains enough fat to make 7 bars of soap, enough iron to make a medium-sized nail, enough magnesium for 1 good dose of magnesia, milk of magnesia, enough potassium and enough sulfur to create a small 4th of July firecracker, enough lime to whitewash a small chicken coop, enough sugar to fill a shaker, enough potassium to make 2,200 match tips. So chemists figured at the rates that they were then that the current worth of a man back then was 98 cents. Of course, today it'd be worth a little bit more. Aren't you glad? About $3.50 maybe. But some others have said that the 150-pound, 98-cent man is now worth actually $85.5 billion. Okay, a 150-pound, 98-cent man is actually now worth $85.5 billion. Researchers believe that the atoms in a 150-pound man have an energy potential of 11.4 kilowatt-hours per pound, which means $570 million per pound, the total value of $85.5 billion. Okay, that's a 150-pound man. So some of us are worth a whole lot more. Some of us are worth a whole lot more. But, you know, I think the whole point of the matter, folks, is godly fathers are priceless in our world today. Wouldn't you agree? Genuinely godly fathers, and we can even say grandfathers. This could apply to moms and grandmas as well. Godly, committed, loving, caring, godly fathers are so, so priceless in our world today. We see a godly father who understood what it meant to be under the lordship of God. Totally committed in the man called Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, if you'd like to stand with me. Some of you wanted to stand when on some of those holy songs. I know I could sense it, but you were reserved. So don't be reserved now. Let's stand. Genesis chapter 22, I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Of course, you understand Isaac was born now. In fact, he was probably in his young teenage years. Maybe later teenage, maybe early adult age. Some figure he might have even been of military age in that time, which would have been right around 20 years old or so. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac." Now I want you to understand what's happening here. This is the son that God promised to Abraham, right? This is the very one that God promised to Abraham, that through this son would come the nation of Israel, the promised people, the the people of promise, the one through whom the Savior of the world would come. And now God comes to Abraham after he's had about 20 years with him and says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. We know it today as the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock is, you know. This is that very location most people agree. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Father, once again, Lord, help us to truly understand what your heart is for us and the kind of heart that you want us to have for you. And then, Lord, to also understand that there are some principles at work here, that it is only through truly, fully committed, surrendered, obedient people through whom your power is displayed and through whom you can accomplish your divine will. So, Lord, bless this church family, I pray. Continue, Father, I pray, to bless this church family. And help us, Lord God, each one as individuals and as a community of believers, to have that heart that you want us to have. In fact, Lord, create that heart within us in a brand new way, I pray, in these days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless you. You may be seated. One of the first things that we see in the Word here is that a godly father demonstrates his love for God. He demonstrates his obedience to the Lord. It says that God tested Abraham. Now, this is a very important term here. Unfortunately, the King James Version, no offense intended or anything, but it translates it tempted. God does not tempt anyone. Do you understand that? In fact, the word is very, very clear. It's a misunderstanding of what the word is. Only Satan tempts people to try to destroy people. God tests people, doesn't he? He tests us to see what's in our hearts. He tests us even according to the word. He tests us to see what the character that is within us. Sometimes he allows tests to come through to see what we're really made of and to see what comes out. You folks know that when you squeeze an orange, what's going to come out? Orange juice, okay? All right? Hopefully something sweet, all right? When something is tested, it's what comes out that really matters, right? And the Hebrew word here is the Hebrew word nasa, which literally means it's like an assayer, you know, a gold assayer. They weigh to see and measure to see the purity of what the thing is made of, what the character is inside of that. And that's what God does. And we need to understand that when things happen our way, sometimes God allows these things to happen to see what we're made of. Amen? And sometimes things happen in our lives because it forces us to see what is coming out and what other people see. God wants people to see the character of Christ in each and every one of us, doesn't he? He wants to see that love. He wants to see that commitment. He wants to see that humility, that love, that obedience. He wants to see the fruits of the Spirit coming out of us. And sometimes when we're tested, it really measures to see what's really within us, to see what we're made of, to see the character that we have within us. God does not tempt to corrupt or to destroy. He tests to encourage. He tests to help us to grow in him, to help us to rely on him even more. Sometimes we don't like to go through times of testing. Who does? Who does? None of us really do. We like things to be comfortable. We like things to be at ease. We like to have enough of everything and not have to worry about things. But a lot of times when people have too much or whatever and don't have any worries, guess who they quit becoming dependent upon? Amen? Guess who they quit becoming dependent on, and they become self-reliant. God wants us to see what kind of humility and faith that we have before him and whether or not we're going to stay true to him in every way. God tests to confirm our faith in him. Amen? That's why he tests. That's why he allows testing. God tests to strengthen our character, to strengthen our resolve, to strengthen our commitment unto him, and make sure that we're truly true to him. We see God's command to Abraham here. And we see Abraham's response. We see that his response was swift, wasn't it? God commanded. Early that next morning, Abraham was on the trail. We see how quickly Abraham responded. And that's what God wants to see in his godly men and women. People that are quick to respond to his call. It could be. We never know when God has been orchestrating and working around our lives or in people around us, when he needs somebody quick on the spot to be his representative. Amen? To be his man, to be his woman, to be that godly person that he needs at just the right time. Abraham was very quick. His response was swift. We see that his response was very obedient. We even see in his demeanor when he sensed or heard the call of God, "Here I am." That was a true nature of a servant. "Here I am, ready to serve you, God, ready to hear your voice, ready to carry out your will. Here I am." His his response was very obedient. He was quick to obey. And we see that in all of this, that it was actually Abraham's love for God and his commitment to God that was being challenged here. It was his personal relationship to God that was being challenged here. His true heart, his true character of whether or not he really loved God and was quick to obey, quick to respond. That was all under challenge here. Surprised that if you try to grow spiritually, that God's not going to test you to see if you love Him more. Amen. Amen? Don't be surprised if God is not going to test you, to challenge, to see what you're really made of within your heart. Because it could very well be that God is trying to find out what's really inside your heart. Whether or not you will truly be surrendered unto Him, truly be committed unto Him, truly ready to be obedient to Him in a moment's notice. A godly person is a person that is up to the challenge. Amen? It's up to the challenge. This was a test of the heart. This was a test to see if Abraham was truly, fully allegiant to God. Sometimes our obedience is measured on not what we give. Folks, sometimes obedience is measured more in what we keep for ourselves. Amen? What we hang on to, what we're unwilling to give up if God should call. I think we're living in days, and we're going to be going and moving into days when our character is going to be challenged. I think we're moving into days when what we hold dear is going to be challenged. And whether or not we're going to be willing to give that up and to say, I surrender all. I don't have to have this thing. I don't have to have this possession. I don't have to have. Most experts say that all we really need is the blood in our own bodies, the air that we breathe, and then maybe moving up a little bit higher, water, and then comes food. And the rest, maybe possibly shelter, and that could be under a tree somewhere. Ronnie and I have been in places. Some of you have been in places where that's all they have. And they are some of the happiest, most giving, most loving people in the world. Because they have the basics. The blood.
blood in their bodies. If you lose that, you're dead, right? Okay? The air that we breathe, water, maybe a little bit of food, and maybe some kind of shelter. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, folks, is I think that we're going to be moving into some days. I don't know when exactly, but I have a feeling that our faith is going to be severely challenged in the Lord God. And we need to know in our hearts, that God is first, and that the things of this world are going to pass away, and that we are going to live in eternity in heaven. Amen?
Yes.
And the things of this world and the possessions and the things that we hold so dear could be challenged and our faith tested. A godly father is willing to stand up and rise to the test. A godly mother, a godly man or woman puts God first in their lives. And he is numero uno. He is the one we worship and adore. It was a test of the heart. And Abraham was willing to obey God no matter what the cost was, wasn't he? No matter what the cost, he was willing to obey God. His relationships, his possessions, even comfort. He had to leave the comfort of home and travel for 3 days to a place that he had never been before in order to carry out this act that God had told him to carry out, that God had commanded him to carry out, this test. So he had to leave his comfort zone in order to do this thing that God called him to do. Abraham put God first in his life. Amen? He was going to carry it out to the fullest extent. We see this. He had the knife ready in his hand. He was ready to carry it out to the very fullest. Amen. Wasn't he? He was holding nothing back. He was ready to carry out God's command to the fullest extent. That's the heart of a godly father. That's the heart of a godly man or godly woman. Nothing held back. Full, complete obedience. The second thing that we see here is that a godly man demonstrates holy priorities. God called Abraham and said, I want you to go. I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. He made all the preparations. He did all of the things necessary to carry out this. He saddled the donkey. He got the wood. He got the fire. He got everything, including his son. And he set out on that journey. He reached a certain point. He saw the top of the tip of the mountain area there on Mount Moriah, where we presently see the dome on the rock. By the way, folks, we're going to be getting that back. Amen? Amen? Because Jesus Christ is going to step foot on that mountaintop. We're getting it back. It all belongs to him. I shouldn't say we are. He is. But then he said to his servant something very, very wonderful. He said, wait here. My son and I are going to worship the Lord.
Amen.
This whole thing was an act of worship unto God, wasn't it? We see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Our worship, this is great. We love what we do here when we sing the songs and get together like this. But folks, our worship is in full, complete commitment and obedience unto the Lord. That's worship. He said, Abraham said, my son and I, we're going there to worship the Lord. The top priority of our lives is to worship the Lord in full humility. In full humility before him. That's our number one priority of our lives. Amen?
Yeah.
The number one priority, the highest purpose of our lives, is to worship God. He went up to that mountain with his son to worship God. Folks, this test was a test ultimately about how much that Abraham valued God. See, our worship is not just singing a few songs and doing a few little ritual acts. Folks, our worship is how much we value our God in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
How much we value God, how much he means to me personally. That's worship.
Yes.
And Abraham's willingness to keep God at the very center of his life. I know people that many times they go through trouble, and the first thing they do is skip church. They go through tough times, go through trouble, and so they don't show up to church because they're going through a hard time. There's something wrong with that. The very place we need to be is within the presence of Almighty God when we're going through times of trouble. Amen?
Amen?
When we're going through times of testing, we need to be in the presence of Almighty God and seek him first in our lives. Godly man demonstrates that highest and most holy priority, and that is the worship of our God. But we also see that worship includes how much we truly believe God, how much we truly adore him, how much we truly believe his word. Okay? Our primary character trait ought to be our faith in God, not just our worship of God. But we need to believe him. We need to believe in what he says. We need to believe that what he says he will do. And Abraham did that, didn't he? Abraham truly believed that both he and his son would return. He said it. Wait here. I'm going to worship the Lord. And then we are coming back. Abraham knew what God had commanded him. Abraham, I want you to kill your son. I want you to kill your son. So why did Abraham say, we are coming back? You say, Abraham knew who God is and that God was able to do anything. Even if Abraham fully carried it out, folks, we believe, and the authority of the word says so in Hebrews 11. When Abraham went up there and he was ready to even plunge the knife into the heart of his son, that God could raise his son back from the dead again. Because Abraham knew that this was the son of promise. Amen? This was the son that God promised him. And God is not a God of confusion. He's not a God who says, I'm going to give you a son, but I want you to kill him. No. God said, this is the son through whom your offspring will become a great nation. This is him. So Abraham in his heart knew that God was a God who honored his promises, and he believed that God could do anything. He believed with all of his heart. Abraham truly believed that God would provide him a lamb or raise his son from the dead. Amen? Either his son would be the lamb or God would provide a lamb. But there was going to be a sacrifice. There was going to be an act of worship that took place. Abraham already learned in previous experiences, folks, that when he tried to control the situation, everything got all messed up. You know what I'm saying? Remember? How many times did he try to pull the trick about Sarah being his sister in order to protect? Right? This time, Abraham got the lesson. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. I'm not going to try to control it. I'm not going to try to manipulate it. I'm not going to try to direct it. I'm not going to try to control it. I'm just going to let God be God. And he did. And God provided the lamb. Praise his name. See, folks, godly fathers demonstrate godly high priorities, and that is worship and genuine faith in God. I believe that God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for our God. Absolutely nothing. when we have those kinds of priorities of truly valuing Him uppermost in our lives and knowing that He can accomplish anything. And I'm just going to trust in Him and surrender my life to Him and just carry out His will regardless of the consequences. We're going to see God do amazing things if we just believe. A godly father passes his faith on to the next generation. Folks, that's one of the most important things that we can do in our lives, is pass our faith in God and our trust in God and our relationship God on to the next generation. The most important thing that we can do. And then one of the things that really, really concerns me these days is the statistics that I hear that only 4% of our young people today, only 4% of our young people today have what we would consider a biblical worldview. Only 4% of American kids today have what we could call a biblical worldview. In other words, they really, truly know God. Only 4%. And we're seeing the results of it in society today, aren't we? We're seeing the results in society today. Abraham learned himself to truly place his faith in Almighty God. And Abraham exemplified his faith before his son. Abraham had come to realize that God always keeps his promises. And Abraham passed that faith on to his son. And we see this clearly demonstrated. Why do you think his son just stood there and let his father bind him? And let his father lay him on top of that wood? And let his father raise the knife? You see, Isaac had the same faith that his father had. Amen?
Amen.
Isaac had the same faith. Isaac believed God too. We sometimes forget about Isaac in his sin. We wonder how in the world, how many of you would let your fathers tie you up with ropes and lay you down on a table somewhere and take a knife willingly and just not do a thing? Like a sheep led to slaughter. Just kind of lay there. Okay, Dad, go ahead. I'm ready. Hit me where you find an open spot. You know? We wouldn't do it, would we? We wouldn't willingly do it. But Isaac willingly humbled his life before his God as well. And he worked in concert together with his father. There was a unity. There was a bond together. The faith of Abraham was passed on to Isaac. And folks, because of that, God was able to carry out his divine will. Because Isaac got it, God's blessing was all over them. The joy knowing God personally, experiencing God personally. But most importantly, folks, God was able, through Abraham and Isaac and their faith and their trust and their obedience and their humility and their worship, God was able to continue carrying out his will even into the next generation on the earth. Folks, there's great value in raising godly children and grandchildren. And it's not just for their sake, folks, it's for God's sake, so that God can continue carrying out his divine will, his divine mission. We see Jesus all over this thing, don't we? The Son, the only Son, carrying the wood. The wood was laid on Isaac. Isaac carried that wood. Jesus carried that wood up that hill. We also see the heart of God all over this thing. Folks, we need to understand the heart of God in this. Because just as Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, willing out of a heart of love for God, God was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, Jesus Christ, because of his love for all of us. And Jesus went willingly in humility before the Father, didn't he? He didn't fuss. He didn't fight. He didn't argue. He didn't say, well, Dad, don't you think we should do it this way? In fact, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And I submit to you folks, that's what a godly family should look like. Where mom and dad and kids are all a knit unit working together in concert in love for Almighty God and allowing God to work through. I'm so glad that Jesus was a willing son, because it's through the Son that God was able to carry out his divine will of redeeming you and me. Amen? And bringing us into a perfect, wonderful relationship, personal relationship, saving relationship with Almighty God. God was able to carry out his divine will because they obeyed. Do you want to see the glory and the power of Almighty God at work among you today?
Yes.
This is the kind of heart that God wants us to have. Amen. A surrendered, humble, willing, obedient, holding nothing back. Everything surrendered to the Lord. Even your highest, whatever most prized possessions that you may have. Willing to carry out God's will. In quick response, quick obedience, ready to go. Ready to get out of the comfort zone. And Almighty God at work in and through our lives, carrying out his divine will. I long for the day, folks, that through your ministries, that we're seeing people getting saved. Amen? Through your ministries, through your willingness, through your surrender, through your humility, through your worship before God, through your willingness to get out of whatever comfort zones, through your willingness to give up whatever it may be, and people are getting saved because God is able to carry out his divine mission through us. And isn't that what this is all about? It's about seeing God at work in and through our lives. But it takes people who are willing and humble and obedient and sacrificial. That's the kind of heart that God wants us to have. Our world needs to see more godly, committed fathers. Maybe grandfathers. Men as well as women. Amen? That's what God wants. That's what our world needs to see. That's what our kids need to see. That's what our grandkids need to see. Because then they too will experience the power and the glory and the wonder of God. And we want them to experience God, don't we? We want our kids, we want our grandkids to know our God. So we need to allow God to test our own hearts in these days. Allow him to test us to see what character there may be within our own lives. What's happening within our own hearts? Have we surrendered all? Have we truly and completely surrendered our all unto him as an act of worship? Or are there things that we're just holding back, holding on to, unwilling to let loose? It's funny how God just gave Isaac right back to Abraham again. Amen? He just gave him right back. So many times it's not in the fact that God is going to take stuff away from us. Many times it's just to see if God can see in our hearts that we're willing.
Yes.
That we're willing to release whatever unto him as an act of worship. Father in heaven, I pray that you would speak into our hearts. Lord God, you love us. You care for each and every one of us. But more importantly, you want to see what's in our hearts. You want to test our character. You want to see if we're truly willing to surrender all to you. So Lord Jesus, even as we sing that that chorus, that verse, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Lord God, would You test our own hearts today? See if we truly, truly are worshiping You, O God, loving You supremely. Number one, first priority in our life. Above all, each and every day, Lord, our hearts surrendered, our lives surrendered as an act of worship unto You each and every single day as we rub shoulders with people in the stores or at the gas stations or wherever we go, among family, among friends. Are we truly Your man, Your woman, Your vessel through whom You can carry out Your divine will? Would you be able to speak through me, Lord, at any time? Even sometimes when I'm weary or when I'm frustrated or when things just aren't matching up and working together and things are chaos. When You squeeze us, is fresh fruit juice going to come out? That's a blessing to others. Lord God, bless this church family, I pray, in the days ahead. How we love You. Can we sing that together as an act of worship unto the Lord, as a response song unto the Lord? Truly, truly worship Him. All to Jesus I surrender. Sharing with you in the worship time. Thank God for Pastor Lynn. He's going through a tough time himself these days. So expect some sweet juice coming from his spirit next Sunday morning. And then on July 4th, we're going to have a very special worship time. It's going to be a combined service at 10 o'clock and very patriotic, fun worship time. In fact, we have a picnic going to do following the worship time. So don't forget, on July 4th, we're going to the whole church family is going to be together for a great celebration time and then a picnic. And Ronnie and I have a very, very close friend, Reverend Denise Burns, is going to be coming here. Her and her husband are very, very close friends of ours. She is the district Sunday School and Discipleship Ministries chairperson and wonderful heart for the Lord. Her husband is a medical doctor down in the valley. And in fact, Ronnie grew up with Denise and Steve as a small child in kids' camps here on the district. So we go a long way back. So it's going to be a very special treat. In fact, we're trying to get their quartet to come as well. So Country Gospel Quartet, the Kingsman Quartet. Hopefully we'll be able to get together and be here as well for that celebration. So we'll see how it all works out, okay? So July 4th, a very special time. We also have the church directories. I forgot what they were called. I wanted to call them a phone book. That's not right.
That works.
The church directories and updates are available for you in the back there. So be sure to pick those up. Sign up on the bulletin board for the 4th of July picnic as you go. May God bless you and happy Father's Day. Look forward to being back with you here in a couple of weeks. Happy Father's Day. Huh? Oh, we have fritters for fathers too back there. So all the fathers, be sure to pick up your fritter. Fritters for fathers. Happy Father's Day. May God bless you.